If we were to think about your life as a journey, I want you to look at these two pictures, and we're going to talk about two different kind of approaches and maybe which one you are. So here on the left, we've got somebody walking on a path, and here on the right, we got somebody driving on some sort of interstate or highway or something, right? And we know if we're walking on a path, you're walking, right? So you're going like just a few miles an hour. If you're on the interstate, you're going like faster than a cheetah, but not just for like a few minutes, right? You're going like that for a long time, right? It's fast, one is slow. And some of us, if we think about the pace of our life, it's just fast, 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 fast. And just like an interstate, does it ever feel like days and weeks go by and a lot of speed happened, a lot of things got passed, but you just kind of like skipped all that time? You know, sometimes you drive somewhere and you can barely remember the trip because you've just, maybe there's lots of reasons for that, but there could just be, sometimes driving is this really detached thing, right? We're just kind of wasting the time to get to somewhere else. And some of us have approached our life almost like we're just trying to get to this next whatever, and we're trying to speed through today or this last week or these last months, right, until we get to whatever destination. And the thing about when you're driving on the interstate, a lot of times you get out of the car more stressed than you went into it, right? Like your jaw's a little tighter, right? Your body's a little more tense. Even if you're stressed when you're on a walk, you just walk a little faster or whatever. By the time you're done with the walk, typically you're less stressed, right? If you get really deep into it, when somebody builds an interstate, they put a whole bunch of effort into this idea of not interacting at all with whatever the landscape is, right? Like if there's a hill in the way, like let's blow it apart so we don't have to drive up very far, right? If there's a river, let's put a bridge over it so we don't dip down hardly at all, right? Whereas when you're on a path, like if there's a big rock, like the path just goes around it, right? Like you notice the rock. But if you're driving on an interstate in Missouri or Arizona, it doesn't really matter too much, right? Like it's kind of the same experience. Whereas if you go for a hike in Arizona, I'm sure it's a lot different than just right around the corner. A lot of us have said, I want to go fast. And so we pick the interstate type of life, right? I want to achieve or get somewhere as fast as possible. And really, just like people who build the interstate, I want to be in control of what's coming, right? I don't want to have to adjust to the landscape. I just want to blow up whatever obstacles are in the way or put a bridge over it, and I want to have the AC cranked, and I just want to go through life, right? And we're in this rush to get somewhere. I don't know where, right? But for most of us, it's like we don't take a slow path, right? Because we got too much going on for that, right? Even if it might be more enjoyable, even if it might be better for our health, no matter what good things might be there, as soon as we hear slow and fast, it doesn't matter what else is on the list, right? It's like, I'm just going to pick the fast one, right? Well, today we're going to be talking about a passage where Jesus is going to tell us about himself, and he's going to describe himself. One of the ways he describes himself is as the way. And I think we're going to dig in a little deeper to how we should be approaching life with Jesus. That it's not the interstate model of how fast can I get there and how little can I be changed. It's a slower pace of how can I adjust and receive what's around me, right? So if you've got a Bible, please turn to John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the pews right in front of you. Or you got a neighbor near you, maybe you don't know him yet, this would be a great chance to say, hey, can I look over your shoulder? So John chapter 14, if you look in the table of contents in your Bible, it'll tell you John. Comes after Matthew, Mark, Luke. 14 is like the big, this is a chapter, so it's like the big number. Then we're coming down this. If you're here last week, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about, I'm going away from you guys. He's talking about, he's about to go to the cross. But he also gets at this idea that he's going away to the cross, but he's going to prepare a place in God's house for his followers. He's going to prepare a place for us. And then he ended his statement with, you know the way to where I'm going. And we're going to pick up in verse 5 with Thomas, one of his disciples. And Thomas asks a great question because he doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. And a lot of times, what we need to get further along is just to simply ask a question, right? To be humble enough to say, like, I don't understand. And if you're in that spot today and you're like, I don't have everything figured out, well, then, like, you're ready to learn, right? And so, verse 5, Thomas, one of Jesus' followers, Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? It's a simple question, right? Like, Jesus, you just told us you're going to prepare this place for us and that we know the way there, but, like, I don't know the way. Like, I don't have the address to put into my phone or whatever. Like, how do I actually get there, right? I don't know the way. Jesus is going to give us this awesome answer in verse 6. Before we get there, though, I want us to pray for Jesus to come and teach us, right? Thomas asked this question, and he looked to Jesus for an answer. So we're going to pray in that same attitude of, like, Jesus, we're coming to you for an answer, right? So let's pray. If you bow your heads with me. Jesus, we're here in this room, and our bodies show that we have some sort of hope in you. That's why we're sitting here today. And Jesus, in this moment, we want to know you better. I pray you would come through your Holy Spirit and reveal yourself to each one of us and to all of us together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So verse 6, Jesus answered, and we're going to read his whole answer, and then we'll come back and dissect it. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, there's a lot more coming. We get to unpack that in the coming weeks, but this is plenty for us today. Right out of the gate, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this can be really offensive to people who aren't Christians because Jesus is saying right here, like, the only way to get to God is through me. There's no other way to God the Father except through Jesus. So there's a lot of people that sounds pretty offensive to, right? Jesus is saying it's not all equal. There's not a whole bunch of, it's not just that we all try hard or something. It's not about effort. It's not about luck. It's about Jesus is the one who gets us to God, and there's no other path, right? It's not like crossing the Missouri River where, like, if one bridge is down, you can just find another one, right? It's not like that. But Jesus, if Jesus is the only path, then we want to figure out how to get on track with Jesus, right? And he describes himself here with these big I am statements. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's lots of people who are looking for life, right? They're chasing some sort of goodness, and they'll go to all sorts of extremes to get whatever they think like is going to be life, right? There's lots of people who will make huge sacrifices because they think this thing or this person, that's going to be the good life for me. Jesus here is claiming, like, real life is with me. So if you're after, like, the best life, Jesus is saying you're going to find it in me. It takes trust. When you're super excited about your girlfriend or whatever, and Jesus says, well, here's the way I want you to do it. Like, here's what I've laid out for marriage and commitment. To say, like, I really believe that God's way is going to bring us the best life. Like, that takes real trust, right? Because there's other voices, even within your own body, that are telling you different things, right? So those moments show, like, do we trust that Jesus actually is the best? That if we follow him, we'll have a good life, right? It takes trust. Jesus is claiming here, like, I'm the truth. Lots of people are after, like, the answers, and sometimes we're after the answers for different reasons, right? Sometimes it's so we can justify ourselves. Sometimes it's so we can know, like, okay, well, if I know that's true, like, I just have to do just this to squeak by or whatever, right? Like, people are after truth for different reasons. But Jesus is saying the real truth is living in the person of Jesus. Like, it's not just, the highest truth is not just some static thing written down. It's the person of Jesus is the highest truth, right? He's claiming that. Like, what's most true? Jesus is most true. But for us today, like, the burden on me when I preach to us as a church, right, is, like, for me as your guys' pastor to try to figure out what does God want to tell us, whether you're watching on Facebook today or whether you're in the room, right? There's better speakers out there. There's better preachers out there. But Jesus has put us together at Maywood, and he has something to tell us. And for me, when I was praying through this week, the way that description of Jesus, I feel like that's the one that we need to really put into our hearts. Because I see a pace that we're at that's more like the interstate than it is that path that we were first talking about, right? It's more about, like, can I just get through these things as fast as possible, as comfortable as possible, right? It's more about, like, can I just hope there's no obstacles at all so I can be as smooth as possible. It's not, I hope I change as I go on this. It's, I hope it's easy for me, right? When somebody goes for a hike, sometimes they're actually going for a hike because they want to change, right? They pick a hard mountain or something because they want to get physically fit or something, right? Like, they're looking for difficulty for the sake of themselves changing, right? And that's a little more akin to, I think, the path that Jesus is talking about here. Like, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So how is Jesus the way? How does this actually work? What does that mean? Well, Jesus is saying the way is a relationship with him. He'll unpack obedience as we go further into John 14. But I want to give you a little preview. I think this great definition of obedience, and we have a slide of it, but I want to hold off on the slide for just a second. Thank you. You're fast, Nick. You're back and forth. But so this little book is written by Henry Nouwen. It's one of my favorite books. And it's just these little letters that this guy wrote to his nephew. And each letter talks about Jesus. And towards the end of his time writing to his nephew, he talks about this definition that I want to read you guys about what's important in life. Here's what Henry Nouwen says. He says, what counts, it's not so important like who we are or our age or that sort of stuff. He says, what counts is being attentive. Right away, it's like attentive, right? Like, that's the hardest one, right? Like, Facebook spends billions to try to just get a little bit of your attention, right? Like, attention's so precious. But he says, what counts is being attentive at all times to the voice of God's love inviting us to obey. To be attentive at all times to the voice of God's love inviting us to obey. That is, to make a generous response. So if you look at it up here, it's just 25 words, right? It's pretty short, but there's a lot in there. Think about your life, even just this last week, not like all the decades or whatever, but just this last week. How much of the last week could you say, I'm actually being attentive right now? I'm listening, I'm looking for God's voice. And he's got in here, which just comes up a ton. I was just reading Jesus's prayer in John 17, and he's talking about God's love. Like, Jesus talks a lot about God's love, but here's the idea of God's love inviting us to obey. Normally when we hear the word obey, we think of a police officer or something. We think about like this, like, oh, I have to, right? But there's no like, huh, to God. God's lovingly inviting us, like, here, can I show you how to do this? Here, there's a better way. Will you do it my way? And he says that is to make a generous response. Here's the thing, if we're on the interstate in our life, right? If we're going fast and we're trying to accomplish a whole bunch of stuff, it's very hard to pay attention to God when you're busy and distracted and tired. And I know that firsthand, right? Like my worst moments are all in those times, right? And if you're busy, distracted, stressed, maybe you pat yourself on the back that you didn't say something terrible to the other person, right? You didn't blow your top and get angry. But it's very hard to make a generous response . Some of us, myself included, like we have an easier time having a generous plan, right? Like if I say like, I'm going to do step one, step two, and then on step three, I'm going to be generous to this person. Sometimes I can get that done, right? A generous response has this idea of like, I didn't make a step one or step two, and suddenly step three just like came out of the woodwork, right? And how do I respond to an interruption, what I see as an interruption, right? Like I already show my hand when I call it an interruption, right? Like I already show like I had expectations for my day and this doesn't fit. But if you look at the Gospels and how Jesus treats people, there's a lot of what we would call interruptions that Jesus seems to spend a lot of time with and give a lot of value to. And you see like Jesus must be treating his time with different expectations than I treat my time with, right? And Jesus often makes a generous response to people we would just either ignore or like sigh about, right? So what counts as being attentive at all times to the voice of God's love inviting us to obey, that is to make a generous response. I believe when we think about Jesus being the way, I think every moment of your day, Jesus has got an open door, like an open way for you to be like him in that moment. You can't control your own health. You can't control how your kids are going to respond to different things. You can't control what your neighbor is going to do. But I don't think there's a single moment where you're going to face anything where Jesus hasn't opened a door to say, you can do it like I would do it. You can take this next breath the way I would take it. You can stop being so productive and take a nap. I mean, Jesus was the type of person that would take naps and stuff, right? Like maybe that's what you need to do to be like Jesus the rest of the day. Like maybe you need to have the humility to say like my body needs to slow down. I can't be a good parent and not take a nap today. Like maybe that's true. Like maybe that's your next step with Jesus. But is every moment to say what's Jesus showing me? How do I be like Jesus in this next moment? Now, that's a little bit into our heads. I want to give you guys a little story here that's helped me get into a different gear with my expectations. Because what I see messing me up a lot is my expectations, right? When my expectations get flustered, it's like all of my good intentions go out the window, right? So how do we get rid of those expectations? There's two different pictures on this next slide. One is a bunch of stuff on the stove getting ready to cook, and the other is that picture just came from the internet, but the one on the right came from the little town I used to live in Mexico. And there's two different experiences I've had around hosting meals. One is when I invite people over, I invite certain people over, I set the time, and I set the menu of what I'm going to be cooking, especially when I was single. It would definitely be like this. Christy's helping me get a little more organized. But what would happen is when I cook, things are just a total disarray mess, and I have a hard time giving myself enough time and getting it all done at once. And so there's always a moment where I'm excited to cook and host, and then before everybody's over, there's like this crazy time of stress where it's not all coming together, right? And like I'm burning one thing while I'm still chopping another or whatever, right? And some of that just shows like my lack of skill, right, with time management in the kitchen, right, and lack of experience. But here's something that's true about our lives a lot of times. We treat it like we're hosting people at our house. We treat it like I'm in control of who's going to show up. I'm in control of what we're going to eat. I'm in control of when it's going to all be done. And because of all that control, all the pressure is on me, right? Now, the thing that's not so true about our regular lives is it's not like you're hosting people over at your house. Like, you don't actually get to control who comes into your life on any given day totally. You don't get to control all of these other elements, right? It's as if your house guests were just coming over whenever they wanted to, and it wasn't even the people you invited, right? And they have an allergy you didn't expect. Or whatever. You know, it's like way different scenario where you'd pull your hair out even if you were good in the kitchen, right? Very different experience I had in Mexico. When my Spanish was not very good, I really wanted to connect with people, but I knew, like, I couldn't really show people that I cared with my words. And the reality is that humble view of myself was actually much more accurate than my, like, prideful view of my English typically I can fall into, where we think, like, oh, I can use words to make this relationship good. A lot of times that our words aren't as strong as we think. But in Mexico, I was really humbled to the spot of, like, I'm going to show up at this person's house. They're cooking food. The conversation I know is going to get awkward at times because I'm just literally not going to understand what's being said, and then things kind of die off. Like, I'd had enough, like, bad dinner moments to be like, this is rough, right? And to go in with a plan of, like, what can I do? I really can't do much, right? I'm learning Spanish as fast as I can, but couldn't accomplish much. Well, I was a real picky eater when I first got to Mexico, but one thing I realized is something I could force myself to do was to eat whatever was put in front of me. And I could try to look like I'm enjoying it, right? And so here's the deal. I would approach those dinners with no knowledge of what was going to be cooked and no pressure that, like, the meal get finished or whatever on time. Like, it was nothing like hosting my own dinner party or whatever, right? My whole job was just to eat whatever got put on my plate, right? Like, and that was a big enough job for me. Like, I was in a humble enough spot. Like, I'm going to try to enjoy whatever get put in front of me. And I'm going to try to ask for seconds, right? Like, that would always be my goal. And I knew from cooking myself that, like, when I cook something for somebody and I make it from scratch and then, like, they don't even want to try it, like, it's a little bit of, like, a letdown, right? Like, you want them to try it at least, right? So I knew that. I knew, like, I can't do very much to be loving, but I can at least eat what's put in front of me, right? That's a big story. I'm going to jump out of the story and get us to our point. Imagine if you approached your life like I approached those meals. If you viewed Jesus as the host of your day, and whatever gets put on your plate, you said, I'm going to eat whatever gets put on my plate today, right? I'm going to try to have a positive attitude about it. I'm going to try to even ask Jesus for seconds. Like, man, that was a jerk that I had to deal with at work. Jesus, please send me a second jerk to be gracious with. Like, that, it's hard to stomach, right? But, like, what if we were just in a conversation with Jesus about, like, Jesus, whatever comes my way, I'm going to take it as an opportunity to show you love. I'm going to take it as an opportunity to do it your way. Because the pressure, I didn't really feel a lot of pressure in Mexico. Like, I had a very humble, like, this is my one little thing to do, right? And I'm just going to do what's out of my control. I'm going to respond to it. A lot of us think there's way too much under our control that's really not under our control. And if we had one to pick from, if we could pick thinking everything's under our control or nothing is, we'd be wiser to approach it like nothing is, which isn't totally accurate. But we could take a step towards that, right? Of, like, I'm going to do the next right thing with whatever's in front of me. The next person that comes up, and I would normally think of them as an interruption or think of them as a distraction, I'm going to instead see them as Jesus has a way for me right here. Like, the way I use my face right now, the way I use my ears and keep my mouth shut, like, that's maybe the way that I can be like Jesus, right? So we've got a little practical thing for you to do. And you can take this or leave it, but we go to this next slide. If you're like, okay, Jake, but what do I actually do? How do I actually have that toward the attitude? Here's something you could do this week. And maybe not for the rest of your life, but what if you try it this week to train your heart to be looking to Jesus for opportunities? So I've got a car here that's parked in the back of the parking lot. What if every day, every time you go somewhere this week, you parked as far away in the parking lot as you could. And, you know, at Walmart, that's like super far away. You know, at your mother-in-law's house, it might still be pretty close, right, or whatever. But you park as far away as you can. And then as you walk to the entrance, you have a prayer time with Jesus, long or short, where you just say, Jesus, I've got a little plate of time at Walmart or wherever, at work for the next 8 hours or 12 hours, whatever it's going to be. I'm receiving this time from you. Whatever comes up, I want to do it your way. Please help me do it your way. And then you're going to forget that you parked crazy far away by the time you get out of wherever you've been at. And then you're going to be like, oh yeah, I parked super far away. As you're walking back to your car, you have this like prayer of review with Jesus. Of like a bunch of stuff happened in there, and it probably wasn't all good if you're anything like me. Like I've already been trying this a little bit, and yesterday I lost my wallet and one of my keys, and I got super stressed about it, right? And I acted like a jerk for several minutes until it like came back. And I realized like, so like my review, it wasn't all positive, right? It wasn't all like, Jesus, thank you, that worked out so well. I was like, Jesus, like, I see my character flaws, right? Like, it just takes a little bit to really throw me off my game. Like, help me do better. Like, that might be all it is, right? But you do a little review with Jesus, and a part of the review can be what should stick. Sometimes we internalize stuff that we shouldn't. Somebody said something sideways to you, and maybe it's just not true. And imagine if you would filter it with Jesus a couple of times a day. Like, Jesus, what should stick? Maybe somebody gave you a compliment and it's not true and it shouldn't stick even, right? Like good or bad. Like, Jesus, what should I let into my heart? And you have that conversation with him, right? And then you get back to your car. It's not for hours. This is for a couple minutes, right? Now, if you're a mom with a bunch of kids in car seats, you're like, the last thing I want to do is like try to get them all through more of Walmart's parking lot, whatever, right? You can find your own way to do the same principle, right? Maybe it's just right before you let anyone else out of the car, you just hit your knees real quick and say, Jesus, please help me to go your way. And then you come back up because you're a mom and you really do have too much to do like a longer thing, right? Jesus sees whatever situation you're in. Imagine if you came to him and said, I want to do it your way with where I'm at today, right? If you got a bunch of toddlers on your hip, like it's going to look different than if you're a retired grandpa, right? It's going to look different. But if you would say throughout the day, I'm going to make it easy on me to check in with Jesus. Because here's our last slide. I showed you the path and I showed you the interstate, but both of those aren't super accurate because if you had a path in the woods, you don't have to have a compass or anything, right? You can follow the path on your own. Jesus, to steal a little bit of thunder from later chapters, he's going to tell us, like, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And it's not that we're really out there following an exact path that's like on the ground that we can see. It's more like the Holy Spirit will be there with you, like pointing out, like, Norm, here's the next thing you need to do. Or Bob, here's the next thing you need to do. And he might tell Skylar to do even something that sounds different, right? But it's the right thing for Skylar to do in that moment. Jesus is saying, my Spirit, his Holy Spirit is available, wants to guide us. And if we will step with the Holy Spirit, we will change. Like, that's what the way is about. Like, if we do it Jesus's way, we're going to change. Jesus, last week, he told us he took the responsibility to prepare the right place for us. But the Holy Spirit walking out Jesus's lifestyle with us, that's going to prepare us to be with God, to be with Jesus the Son, right? So I want to pray a blessing over us as we're closing out. But if you're here today and you're like, I heard a lot of stuff, but like, I don't even know my first step. Like, you said a whole bunch of stuff, Jake. Like, I want Jesus, but I don't know how to start. Like, don't leave this room. Come and talk to me. Talk to one of the people that were standing up front. But take your first step with Jesus by saying to somebody, like, I want to get started with Jesus, right? So if you guys will bow your heads, let me pray over you. Jesus, I ask for you to empower this prayer by your Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be life, truth, and the way for us this week. Your representative to each one of us this week. Jesus, help us to take a step with you every day this week. Help us to be more like you next Sunday than we are right now. Help us to be closer to you next Sunday than we are right now. Help us to let go of our expectations and help us to receive whatever opportunities you give us. I pray that you would empower us to love others like you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.